Good afternoon. So, the governor mentioned yesterday, he's out of town at the Council of Governors. He's co-chairing that meeting. I am here to present the COVID information for today. So, we'll begin now. So, first slide, please. Our total number of cases is 735. This is a decrease from yesterday, where we were at 912. Our distribution of those cases is currently comprised of 691 cases from the community and 44 cases from correctional institutions. And you can see that information there on the slide. Next slide, please. So the currently number currently hospitalized Arkansans and show in that slide, we have a decrease of two patients hospitalized, currently at 514. Individuals on a ventilator are 111, and that's an increase of five. Our deaths for yesterday were an increase of seven, and we're currently at 515. At this time, we have a total of next slide, please. This is the 7-day rolling average of new COVID cases in Arkansas. And as you can see, there appears to be a little bit of a dip downward. We need to see if this goes forward. The last bar on that, of course, is the most tenuous because we're getting more results coming in. So we'll keep an eye on that. But it does seem to be trending a little bit downward. Total active cases at this time are 6,958. This is comprised of 71 from nursing homes, 548 from correctional institutions, and a total of 6,339 community cases. Next slide, please. So, again, this is the 7-day rolling average percentage. This is the test, excuse me. So let me give you a little bit more information on the recovered cases. There are 39,555 recovered cases, and our total cases to date in Arkansas are 47,028 cases. So testing for yesterday, we performed 4,514 cases. Our positivity rate ticked up a little bit at 8.6%. We had 1,137 of those tests performed by the Arkansas Department of Health, 3,051 from commercial or private laboratories, and then lastly, 326 from the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. To date, we have a total of 27,998 cases tests performed. So give me the next slide, please, I believe. Is that it? Okay. Let me talk about the counties as the governor usually does. So there are 10 counties with more than, equal to or more than 20 cases within the county. Pulaski is at the top of the list at 73. We have Craighead at 69, Sebastian County at 62, Poinsett County, the first time entering into these numbers with 20, has 27. There is no clustering in that county. These are all community-wide. Benton and Garland County both have 24 cases. Crittenden and Mississippi counties have 23 cases, and then the last two in the top 10 are Green at 22 and Saline at 21. So forgive me for neglecting to also mention that Dr. Dillahay is with us today and we'll be talking about influenza vaccines. So I will ask her to come to the mic and give some words, and then we'll open it up to questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Romero. I've been asked to say a few words to give some thought about getting a flu vaccine this year when they're available. They hope to be available this next month. This year, it will be especially important to get a flu shot. And this is mainly for two reasons. One is you don't want to have the flu and COVID-19 at the same time. The second reason is because flu vaccination can go a long way to keeping people out of the hospital. And we want to decrease the number of hospitalizations in Arkansas as much as possible because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Each year in Arkansas, about half the people who are recommended to get a flu vaccine get one. The flu vaccine is recommended for all people who don't have a contraindication, who are 6 months of age and older. We would like for the percentage of Arkansas adults and children who get vaccinated to be much higher than 50% this year. So there's ways of addressing that. First is we will have the flu vaccine available next month, and the Arkansas Department of Health will host drive-through flu vaccination clinics beginning the week of September 21st. And then the following week, we'll make the flu vaccine available at schools. But even before then, many clinics and pharmacies will have flu vaccinations available. And we encourage all our Kansans to go ahead and get one whenever it's available. And for children who are getting their back-to-school exams, if their clinic has the flu vaccine available, go ahead and get one. And this is a reminder also for any children who are behind in their routine vaccinations as recommended by the CDC to go ahead and use this opportunity to get caught up as well. And finally, I would like to say a few things about the effectiveness of the flu vaccine. This is one of the things that I often hear the most misconceptions about. So it's often thought wrongly that it's either all or nothing, that the flu vaccine is completely effective for you or completely not. And that is not really the case. We know that for about half of the people who get the flu vaccine, it will work well enough to keep them from having to go to the doctor at all. About half the people usually will not have to go to the doctor at all because they've gotten the flu vaccine. But some people will get sick from the flu, even though they have gotten the vaccine. But we know that what the vaccine does is that basically it gives your immune system a running head start to fight the flu. So it introduces your immune system to what the flu virus will look like. The vaccine tells your immune system, be on the lookout for a virus that looks like this. And then when you see the real flu virus, your immune system does not have to go through the steps that it has already gone through to learn to recognize that flu virus. And it can go to work immediately in fighting that virus. Sometimes that's enough to keep people completely well and not getting any flu symptoms at all. Other times it's enough to keep people from having to go to the hospital, even though they do get the flu. And in some cases, it's enough to keep people alive. And that is really what we want to do. We want to prevent people from dying from the flu. We want to prevent them from having to go to the hospital. And if possible, we'd like to keep them from getting it at all. So this year, it's going to be especially important for all eligible people to get the flu vaccine. Like I said, you don't want to have COVID-19 and flu at the same time, and you don't want to end up in the hospital. So thank you. Take questions.
Very good. Speak up.
So yesterday's technical difficulties, I could not hear one of your answers, and so I apologize for asking the question you already. But it was what sort of numbers that you are looking at or a threshold for an individual school for saying, you know, perhaps this school should close? Was there an answer to that yesterday?
So the metrics are actually in the document that's been produced by the education. There are metrics in there that are indicated. So I would have to have the document in front of me to give you the specific metrics. We will be available to the superintendents to discuss and to answer questions, and we'll work through this along with us with the Secretary of Education.
Is that a document that's online somewhere?
Yes, we can get it for you.
Okay. And so with it looks like the reference lab tests are not doing so high. Is this something you need also to take into account the difficulty in tracing and testing?
So are you talking about overall or
overall,
today's?
You know, as for planning for schools and for everything.
Right. So we realize that the commercial labs are not back up to capacity and back where they were before. Arkansas Department of Health, their public health laboratory is ramping up. As we mentioned before, we're adding another high throughput thermocycler, so we will be able to have greater capacity. And on top of that, there are a point of care testing machines that are going to be distributed across the state at the local health units that can be used for providing point of care testing. So we're trying to ramp up the testing as much as possible.
Have you received the reagents
for which
the
one?
Antigen?
No, we have not yet received our reagents for antigen testing.
Have there been any reported cases in any daycares or preschools, and if so, where and how many?
So we have had cases in daycares. I can't give you specifics as to where they are. We can certainly see if we can get that information for you. But they have been reported since months beforehand. So we're keeping an eye on that, and we're tracking it.
So the flu burden on ICUs on average for flu season,
It can be significant. So, you know, any given year in the United States, depending on the severity of the virus, we can have anywhere from 9 million to 45 million cases of flu. Of those, somewhere between 12 and 61,000 deaths can occur. The burden is significant overall, both in hospitalization and in ICU requirement and ventilation requirement. So it really is important, as was pointed out by Dr. Dillahay, that we get a flu vaccine this year, because as talked about in the past, you know, our capacity is limited with regard to hospitals, beds, and to ICUs and ventilators. So we don't want to add on top of that the burden of influenza disease, especially in the elderly.
Do we keep track of that data every year? How many hospitalizations for the flu in Arkansas?
We do, and I'll let Dr. Dillahay add more detail. Do you want to add more detail on that?
The Arkansas Department of Health has a hospital discharge data system. So we have... All right, so the question was, do we keep data on the influenza hospitalizations in Arkansas and so forth? So the Arkansas Department of Health has a data system called the Hospital Discharge Data System, and we have data for all of the hospitalizations in Arkansas, and we can run the numbers for the flu-related hospitalizations for any given year, and then we can look at the characteristics, like were they in the ICU and that kind of thing.
Let me stop here and see if there's a question from remote sites.
Doctor, good morning. This is Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. There are published reports here that yesterday's death count included 10 counts from a single nursing home here in Hot Springs. Can you tell us a little bit about that in terms of, were those all in one day, or how do you end up with 10 nursing home deaths reported in one day?
So I'm not familiar with that data. That was presented to me yesterday. I would have to go back and look at that. We can certainly provide you with more of an answer after the press conference, but I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from offsite?
Yeah, this is Andy Davis with the Democratic
Center. Yes, Andy.
I wanted to ask, with the number of cases at their current level, would you be comfortable opening schools in the fall, or would you want to see the level get down lower than it is now? And also, what's the rationale for waiting until the school has an outbreak before allowing it to, like, shift to all remote instruction?
I'm sorry, would you repeat the last part of your question? What's the...
reason for requiring the school to have an outbreak before you would actually shift to all remote instruction?
So right now, the numbers are not climbing significantly. I think we're fine to push forward with the plan to have in-school classes. We are keeping an eye on this daily and weekly, and we will make a decision if the numbers continue to rise significantly. We are hopeful that our use of the masks that mandated that the governor has put in place will drive this downward. It was originally stated that we thought about it would take about 2 weeks to do that. Now the new projections are that it will take another 2 weeks. So in about two more weeks, we should have a better idea. The idea of starting school and waiting for an outbreak really, I think, is that we want students in the classroom. We want to try to start school in a safe environment with the ability to test appropriately, and that's why we're deploying these rapid antigen tests across the state. I think that at this time, we are not going to change that. We're going to see whether there are significant outbreaks in schools. There will be cases sporadically within classes, because some of these children are going to acquire their disease from the community. So we have to watch this very carefully. Are there any other questions?
Is that an actual protocol of what it looks like the first day of school, how kids come in, who's testing who, who's doing the testing, how that works, and if they find kids that actually are testing positive, how are we going to handle that?
Right. So the question, I'm sorry, I've not been repeating the question. The question is, do we have a protocol for testing children as they enter the school? What will be done with those children? We are not planning on testing students as they enter the school. They will go to school, and testing will be based on symptoms and exposure if appropriate. So there is no set program to test all students entering into the class. Any other questions from outside? Anyone else? Very good. Well, thank you very much. The governor should be back tomorrow. So thank you again.